Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Stars podcast. I'm your host, Kenneth Nash, joining you here on this Monday. A lot to talk about today. We're recording this later in the afternoon. The trade deadline just passed. I was weighing up. Do I put one out on Monday morning and have a trade deadline exclusive episode? Do I talk about the games and the trade deadline at the same time? That's what we went with. So we're going to talk about the Stars weekend, a win and a shootout loss for Dallas this weekend. Overall, fairly positive little three-game stretch the Stars have gone on here recently. Talk about these past two games against Florida and the Nashville Predators. We'll talk about the trade deadline. We'll talk about Sammy Vatanen, who the Stars claimed off of waivers from the New Jersey Devils today. We'll talk about him. We'll talk about everything going on in the world of Stars. We'll talk a little bit of trade deadline around the league. Probably going to save the league-wide stuff for tomorrow a little bit, because we'll have a preview episode of the Stars Panthers, but it won't take up a whole episode. So we'll talk a little bit about what I think from some of the other moves from around the league. But let's go ahead and jump right in. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off your next order of Built Bars. We'll jump right in and dive into the Stars game against the Florida Panthers on Saturday. Haven't talked to you in a couple of days, so we haven't gotten a chance to talk about these past couple of games. Stars, fresh off of a win against the Chicago Blackhawks on Thursday. We're taking on the Florida Panthers. Tough matchup. The Stars were needing a win. They beat Chicago 5-1 on Thursday. We talked about that on Friday's episode. Saturday afternoon, they took on the Florida Panthers in Dallas. The Stars with a big 4-1 win over the Florida Panthers. And it was a game, it was just back-to-back games where the Stars just were better than their opponent. And that is not, those games have come few and far between, but the Stars were just better than their opponent here in this little stretch. And this was a big win for the Stars. 4-1 win. They go up 3-0 in the first period. Pretty dominant in the first period. They were up 2-0 with inside 2 minutes into the game. Florida got one back late at the end of the second period, and the Stars did a really nice job of not letting that be compounded at the beginning of the third. Florida came out strong. Stars weathered the storm, got a fourth goal, sealed it off, iced the win. Goal scores in this one, Jason Robertson got it going a minute in with a really nice, it was just a really nice team goal from Pavelski, Henson, and Robertson, those three combined. Robertson, that was Robertson's 10th goal of the season. It was a minute in on the nose. Then Joel Lesperance, 49 seconds later, got his second of the season. Nice feed from Justin Dowling. It was a tap-in for Joel Lesperance. Made it 2-0 Stars. Stars would wait a little bit longer this time, 9 minutes, 3 seconds in. Jamie Benn on the power play. And Jamie Benn, if he can wake up and be consistent on special teams like he has been the last couple of weeks, that's huge for the Stars team. Jamie Benn on the power play. It was a pass back into the slot from Pavelski, and Benn just kind of basically just kicked it back to his stick because it came off his skate. He kind of used his skate as like a backboard, banked it to his stick, and then just ripped it one time. A quick little snapshot kind of thing up over the Florida netminder. Bobrovsky's shoulder made it 3-0 Dallas Stars. They would take that lead into the first intermission, come out second period. Kind of went station to station. It's a baseball term. But not really pressing too hard. Leaning on the fact they had a three-goal lead, just kind of playing their game, making Florida do all the work. Florida got a goal, power play goal with 2 seconds left in the period. And there was an element of, it's Alexander Barkov. And there's an element of when that happens, you're kind of going, oh, here we go again. Stars give up a late goal, make it a two-goal game going to the third period. That's there's a big difference between a two-goal game and a three-goal game going to the third period. The momentum, not shifted, but momentum, there's a little bit of momentum in it for Florida now. And so I think there was an element with all Stars fans. It was like, awesome, here we go. And Florida's turned over a two-goal deficit in the third period against the Stars already this season. But I thought the Stars did a pretty good job of weathering the storm in the third period for Florida. It did help Jason Robertson with an unassisted goal a little under a minute and a half into the period, his 11th of the season, second of the game. Made it 4-1, and that kind of, you know, that sucked a lot of the life, I'm sure, out of Florida. Although I thought they played an okay third period, but I think that did suck the life out of them. I mean, you score 2 seconds left in the second, you go, okay, there's a momentum in it, and then less than a minute and a half into the third period, you give that goal right back. The goal from Robertson was an unbelievable snipe. It was unassisted, him just skating into the zone, and what I'm seeing from Robertson now is, and what makes it so, like, exciting is he's so confident now, and not like confident to the point where he does stupid things because he just thinks he can, but that skating in the zone right there, 21-year-old rookie who wasn't projected to have a massive role on this team if he was on the team with any sort of regularity much this year at all, skates in the zone, puck on his stick. He had a couple of pass options, but he just sees it start to open up. He sees nobody's really cutting off his shooting lane. And he just rips it, right? And it was a gorgeous shot, bar down. And that confidence is so encouraging because the talent's there. You know the work ethic seems to be there for him. And so the confidence that has just grown and grown. And you see it in the way he plays. He's now, it's not just... When he first kind of hit this stride of assists, because he was creating a lot of assists, it was because he was forechecking hard, create turnovers, and then immediately had his head up looking to feed Hintz or, you know, DeLandre, whoever. I mean, whoever he was on the line with, he was fourth line and DeLandre and Gardner and Kara and whoever was like Camano, whoever cycling it out. And then when he got bumped up, he was trying to cycle and find, you know, Hintz and Pavelski and these guys. Now it's like he is much more comfortable being the guy who's running it when he's got the puck on his stick in the offensive zone, rather than I just won the puck back to give it to somebody else, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with trying to pass it off or anything, but I think it makes him a really, really dangerous player when he's confident in his ability to control the offense for the Stars and to take shots, create shots for himself. The game was one that was pretty much up the Stars' alley. I didn't think Bobrovsky was great for Florida, but neither team generated tons and tons of chances. Stars get up or outshot 21-20, which is a really, really low shot total in today's NHL. 41 shots combined, very, very low. Stars win 54% of the faceoffs. That's a little trend we've seen over the past couple of games. The Stars winning the faceoff battle with some regularity. We know they made some line changes. Jamie Benn's played some center. Ty DeLandre's played some center to try to get more faceoffs, more of the faceoff percentage, and they've done that. Stars were 1-for-3 on the power play, 3-for-4 on the penalty kill. They played physical like they tend to do. Here was an underrated part of this. Florida's 21 shots, probably a little bit misleading, shots on goal. The Stars blocked 28 shots in this game to Florida's 7. The Stars were committed to playing the game and playing doing what they need to do to win. And it's not an indictment that they haven't been like that. I think the Stars are always willing to play like this. But there was an extra, like, pep, and I think maybe it's because they beat Chicago in the manner they did on Thursday, a confident win in Chicago. There's some confidence, and when there's confidence, that doesn't just help you in the offensive department, right? That helps you defensively, right? You have the confidence to say, hey, we're playing well. You know what? I'm going to make this extra stride, get in front of the shot rather than just hold my stick out. You know, I'm going to drop down to a knee to block this shot rather than just trying to, you know, put my skates together kind of thing and block shots. You go that extra step because everybody's playing with a little more confidence. I think that's really, really big for the Stars. Talking about the faceoff percentage, Jamie Benn won 53% of faceoffs that he took. Pavelski won 60%, Hintz 67%. DeLandre didn't play in this game, but we saw that move on Thursday where he played some center. The Stars are trying to, trying to focus on face-offs a little bit. I think that's helped them. They won the face-off battle against Chicago on Thursday. I think that helps because it allows you to control the game a little bit. No, it's not the end-all be-all, but if you're winning more than 50% of the face-offs, that means more than 50% of the time when the game restarts after a stoppage, you get the first chance to try to control play. And I think for a team that, like the Stars, who don't have a ton of, you know, game changers throughout their roster right now, guys who can control the game just on talent alone, I think that's an important thing to consider, an important factor. Looking through the points again, Jason Robertson, 2.9 with 2 goals. Joe Pavelski had 2 assists. Benn had a goal. Dowling had an assist. L'Espérance had a goal. All for Dallas. Good night. S. Lindell was a +2. Anthony Dobin stopped 20 of 21. I thought he was very good. It was a big win. Florida's a good team, beating Florida in the manner the Stars did, 4-1 back to back. When you beat Chicago and then Florida, they pulled within 3 points of Chicago in the standings. They pulled within 5 points of Nashville in the standings after that game. That's a good weekend, or a good couple of games for the Stars. And it didn't end on the brightest note, but it didn't end on initially a bad note either. We'll talk about that right around the corner here on the Locked On Stars podcast. Before we do, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. We've talked about it. I drill it down because it's so, they're so good. They've got regular bars, crisp bars, puff bars, bites. They've got drink mixes. They've got an unbelievable assortment of stuff. But Built Bar, the OG Built Bars, are still unbelievable. They've got 18 great flavors. They've got more than that now. My favorite right now is the Coconut Brownie Chunk, which was named the best tasting Built Bar in Built Bar Madness. There's so many good flavors out there. These bars are covered 100% chocolate, white chocolate, some of them, a lot of them, regular milk chocolate, dark chocolate. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great if you're on the keto diet, you're trying to lose or maintain weight. These bars are great for that as well. Look at the cookies and cream bar, one of my favorites. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. Right now, you can go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your next order. It's promo code LOCKED15, get you 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast, get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Real quick, let's talk about the Stars and Predators, and then we'll wrap up today's show. Sami Vatanen, we got Tyler Seguin news, we got Ben Bishop news, we got Alexander Radulov news, we got Jamie Oleksiak, why he wasn't moved to the deadline, Thomas Harley, could we see him later this year? We got a lot to talk about. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. Real quick, though, want to talk about the Stars and Predators on Sunday night. Stars fall in the shootout. Not a surprise there. The Stars are still very, very bad in games that go to OT or shootouts. They now have 11 losses in games that go to overtime or the shootout compared to the Predators 1. And that is really right now the difference in the standings. The Stars won half of the games that they've lost in OT or the shootout. They would be in a playoff spot. But we'll dive into this one. Stars lose 3-2 in the shootout. The Stars open the scoring. Roope Hintz, who continues to just be on fire. I think he's the Stars' best player right now, and that's not an indictment on Joe Pavelski's season or Jason Robertson, who's making a great campaign for the Calder Trophy, or Miro Heiskanen, because I think he's still the most talented Dallas Star. But Roope Hintz has been the Stars' best player this year. When he's in the lineup, he's a game changer. He scores his 13th of the season 5 minutes in, makes it 1-0 Stars. Ryan Ellis, though, would get that goal back about 6 minutes later. His third of the year, made it 1-1 on an assist from Kunin. In the second period, Yakov Trenin gets his fourth of the year. 2 minutes in the second period, made it 2-1 Nashville. But the Stars would answer with about a minute left, a little over a minute left. Jamie Oleksiak, and the Stars tweeted the clip out. If you haven't seen the goal, go look at it. Stars tweeted out his farm to table. Jamie Oleksiak picks it up in his own zone, carries it all the way through, weaves through a few Nashville players, and equalizes with about a minute and 4 seconds left in the second period. Made it 2-2. No goals in the third period. No goals in OT. Go to the shootout. The only goal scored in the shootout was Ryan Johansson. The very first attempt, the Stars did not score one in the shootout. Robertson had it saved. Pavelski had it saved. And Hintz had it saved as well. And we've talked about the shootout's a really rough spot for the Stars right now, because you look at a couple of guys they're missing. Sagan, Radulov, those are shootout guys, right? No indictment on Jason Robertson, who's been pretty good at the shootout. Joe Pavelski, who's got a good career in the shootout. Roope Hintz. But if you have Sagan and Radulov healthy in there, you're talking about Pavelski, Radulov, Sagan, something like that. And then you're talking about Robertson and Hintz being your 4-5, something in that neighborhood. I think the Stars probably have won a couple more shootouts than they have this year. But I thought it was a fairly good game for the Stars. Second night of a back-to-back. There was travel involved. The Stars had to travel to Nashville after playing in Dallas on Saturday afternoon. Third game in 4 days. I thought they played pretty well, considering the fact that, and to get a point, 5 points in these last three is not a bad result, and we're really toeing that fine line of, this wasn't a bad result, and you want to be positive, but you lost a point to Nashville, and that is a negative, a big negative now in the standing. Stars outshoot the Predators 26-20. Faceoffs were dead even. Stars went 0-3 on the power play. That was a big difference maker in this one. Stars couldn't get their power play going like it's been going in recent games. 1-for-1 on the penalty kill. Just not a whole lot going for Dallas in this one. Robe Hintz did have another two-point game, goal and an assist in this one. Alexiak with a goal. Klingberg with an assist. And that kind of rounds out the scoring for Dallas. Anthony Dubin, I thought, was pretty good again. Stopped 18 of 20. He's bounced back, I think, really well here over the past week or so after, you know, some rough times. And then he got hit with that kind of he got hit with the COVID stuff where he had to go on the protocol list for a false positive. Since he's come back from that, he's been really pretty good for the Stars. And that's encouraging. I think they're trending in the right direction. I don't know if they're a playoff team, and there was actually a really interesting graph. I'm going to go see if I can find it real quick. It was Matthew DeFranks tweeted out, but I don't remember who put the graph together. MoneyPuck.com. Yeah, it was MoneyPuck.com. Playoff odds based on last night's Stars-Predators game, how it ended. If the Stars had won that game in regulation, their playoff chance to make the playoffs jumped 14%, almost 14%, to 54.8%. If they lost in regulation, the Stars' playoff percentage went down to 29.4%. If they beat the Preds in OT, up to 48.1%. If they lose, down to 36.6%. So after the loss, the Stars' playoff percentage chances down to 36.6%. The Predators up to 54%. So the loss hurts, but that shows how tight things are. The Stars, if they'd won that game, are now favorites in the Central Division to get that four spot. Now that they've lost, they've got the second best odds. I think for the most part, there's a general consensus that, not a general consensus necessarily, but it looks like they're trending in a direction where they're going to pass Chicago here. Chicago very, very active at the deadline too. We'll talk about that tomorrow's episode. We're going to go around the league in deadline talk tomorrow and just kind of talk about a handful of the trades that we saw, and especially Central Division ones, how they could impact it. Matias Janmark was traded away. The Blackhawks were really interesting because they made some moves that were like seller moves, but they made some moves that were also like buyer kind of moves. So it was an interesting deadline for Chicago. We'll talk about that. But that being said, I think there's kind of a general feeling now the Stars are probably going to pass Chicago, and it's more Nashville-Dallas competing for that four spot than Chicago-Nashville-Dallas, which is good for the Stars. You know, they're still sixth in the division. They're 2 points back in Chicago, but they have 2 points in hand, so same points percentage. They've got a positive goal differential. Chicago doesn't. Chicago's 5-5-0 in their last 10. The Stars 4-3-3. But it does feel like the Stars are trending well enough to pass Chicago here in the next couple of weeks. The question is, can they chase down Nashville? They're 6 points back of Nashville. 47 points, 43 games for Nashville, 41 and 40 for Dallas. So 6 points back, 3 games in hand. If they win all 3 games in hand, they're even on points. But that's, you know, obviously that's a big stretch. But they're chipping away. The question is, are they going to have enough time to get back into it? You look at the Stars' schedule here. Moving forward, the Stars take on the Panthers on Tuesday. They got the Panthers this week, Columbus twice, then Detroit 4 times next week. They play the Detroit Red Wings 4 games in a row next week. They've got Columbus twice, Detroit 4 times. That's 6 of their next 7 games. The Stars need to win 5 of those games minimum. Stars need to win 5 of their next 7. There's no doubt about that. And ideally, you'd love to win more than that. But I think they need to win 5 of their next 7. But you look at this. It's April 12th when you're hearing this episode. We are less than a month away from the end of the season. The regular season scheduled to end May 10th. So we're less than a month away. And so the question is, can the Stars catch the Predators in the standings with what's left? They've got 6 points left, or 6 points to make up, 6 points gap to make up. They've got 16 games left. The Predators have 13 games left. Can the Stars make up that difference? I think they can, especially when you look at their schedule here. To come in the season, we talked about Florida. They've got Florida here on Tuesday, but then twice against Columbus at home, twice against Detroit at home, twice against Detroit on the road, then they're home against Carolina for 2 games, at Tampa Bay for a game, and then they finish. This little stretch right here, the 2 games against Carolina on the 26th and 27th of April, that rounds out their home schedule. Then they're at Tampa Bay on the 29th, at Nashville on the 1st of May, at Florida on the 3rd, at Tampa Bay on the 5th, at Tampa Bay on the 7th, at Chicago on the 9th and 10th. That's a tough run-in. The Stars need to take advantage of this stretch they've got right here. 7 games. This 7-game stretch is make or break, because they've got to they've got it at minimum, I think, be even with Nashville by the end of next week. I think they at minimum have to be even with Nashville at the end of next week, because the Stars have such a difficult run in for the season with their last 2 weeks of the year, 2.5 weeks of the year, all coming on the road. They've got to be able to be even so they can at least, you know, they're not, if you're trying to play chase down Nashville by a couple of games and you're in that run in, that road trip run in, it's not going to go well. I can guarantee you that. Looking at Nashville's schedule, Tampa Bay at home on Tuesday, at Carolina Thursday, at Carolina Saturday, home against Chicago, all three games next week. Home against Chicago Monday the 19th, away to Chicago the 21st, away to Chicago the 23rd, and then Florida for their last two games of the month. That's a tough. That's a tough group, right? It's not as heavy as the Stars, but that's a tough two and a half week stretch. I think the Stars can make up a difference here. Whereas you know, Nashville plays Tampa Bay once, Florida twice, Chicago three times, and Carolina twice, and don't play the bottom two teams in the division. The Stars have five of their next seven against the bottom two teams in the division. This is a crucial, crucial stretch for the Stars. Let's step aside one more time. We come back, we'll talk about Sami Vatanen, the newest Dallas Star. We'll talk about Jamie Oleksiak, why he didn't get moved. Thomas Harley, comments from Jim Neal today at his press conference post-trade deadline. Talked about Thomas Harley, talked about Tyler Seguin, Ben Bishop, Alexander Radulov. Talk about all of that here on the Locked On Stars podcast. Before we do, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football may be over, but the NBA and NHL are in full swing. They've even got you covered for awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. They've got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. The best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website, use your mobile device today to sign up, receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use promo code LOCKEDON. That's a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Back here, the Locked On Stars podcast, be a waiver wire winner with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Fantasy hockey expert Scott Cullen gives you the tips, insights, and analysis for season-long dynasty and DFS leagues. Follow the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Let's dive into a little bit of today's news regarding the Dallas Stars. First and foremost, probably the news that is most interesting to everybody right now. The Stars did claim Sami Vatanen off of waivers from the New Jersey Devils. The Finnish defenseman was waived right ahead of the deadline. The Stars make the claim. It's the only move the Stars made today on the deadline, so no actual trades went down. Stars bring in the 29-year-old defenseman as defensive depth. I mean, that's what the move was for. There was some kind of inklings, that thoughts like, hey, is this a move to add insurance if the Stars move Jamie Oleksiak, who was probably the hottest Stars commodity talked about right around the deadline. I thought it would be Andrew Cogliano that would be most likely to be moved, but I think his contract probably proved a little bit too difficult to move off of, and the Stars would have had to eat a lot of the contract, and I don't think that really worked out, and I don't think there was enough reward in it for Dallas to jettison one of their influential penalty killers and checking line forwards. So Jamie Oleksiak was really only the name that we heard a lot about today with regards to the Dallas Stars. So there's talk that, you know, it was the Sami Vatanen deal, insurance for if the Stars let him go, that the Stars have, you know, somebody ready to cover. But it looks like it was more had to do with injury depth, and that's what Jim Neal said after the deadline in his press conference, said it was more to cover. Obviously Andre Sekera was hurt yesterday. He looks like he may miss some time. You bring in Vatanen, he's a penalty killer. He can skate on that third pairing and slot right in. And, you know, when Sekera comes back, now you have a little bit of a competition there with regards to your defenseman and who's going to be in that group of six. Really, it's a battle between Pesek, Sekera, and Vatanen now for those fifth and sixth roles. Vatanen, of course, you know, go back a few years, was a pretty big name. Wasn't superstar caliber, I don't necessarily think, but was obviously, you know, had some very, very good years with Anaheim. 29 years old, he was a fourth round pick from Anaheim back in 2009. With the Ducks, had some very, very, very good years. 2014-15, he put up 37 points in 67 games. He had that great playoff run, which really kind of put him on the map, I think, for a lot of people. 11 points in 16 playoff games. He was a plus 8 during that time as well. probably plus five in that playoff run. 2015-16 had a good year, 38 points in 71 games. Then he started to tail off a little bit, 24 points in 71 games with Anaheim in 16-17. And then he was traded in 17-18 to the Devils, had a pretty good year with them, finished with 28 points in 57 games, but he was a minus one. Made a playoff appearance then, 2018-19, the points kept dropping further and further. He was a minus 17 with New Jersey in 2018-19, then 2019-20. The points were there again, but he was dropping off a little bit more. Went to Carolina and then came back to New Jersey this offseason. And for the New Jersey this year, he's got 6 points, 2 goals, 4 assists in 30 games. He's a plus two, but he's had a rough year. He's not been quite the player that I think people were hoping he would be or could be. So he's a depth guy. You're right. You're not getting the Sami Vatanen who was a point per two game player or over that actually when he was with Anaheim, who also is defensively solid and can kill penalties. You're not getting that guy. You're getting a third pairing defenseman. Yeah, I mean, I've seen some fans, and there's nothing wrong with being excited. We like to get excited about new players. I've seen some fans talk about, you know, this was a real coup and a real steal, and he's going to, you know, I don't know what his impact's going to be. I will say, whenever a guy comes in off waivers like that, you have to take it with a grain of salt, right? Because he was waived, meaning that there was not an offer out there. There really was an offer out there. They may have been, you know, somebody may have thrown a seventh round pick at somebody, but there was no real offer where teams were like, hey, it was probably an offer and you eat some of the salary in terms of the Devils. There was no offer that made the Devils, you know, want to move him via trade. They were more willing to just waive him and hope somebody picked him up and they didn't have to pay his salary the rest of the year. So I think that you just always have to kind of keep that, you know, note in your head when you think about some of these moves. That being said, I think it was a nice pickup. You know, he is a good name. And, you know, he obviously has some ability. He's still, you know, 29. He's still, you know, right in what should be the prime of his career. The Devils are not very good, you know, so maybe joining a group, a decor with like the Stars that is, you know, obviously pretty talented. You know, could help him. You look at the Devils this season, they haven't been, you know, really up to the task. And so they were kind of jettisoning a lot of their, you know, expiring deals and older contracts, older players to try to, you know, just get something back or to get off money, you know, maybe. And he was also playing under Lindy Ruff. You know, that's not necessarily an ideal situation for a defenseman. You know, maybe in Dallas, I think you can expect a little bit more out of him than you saw in New Jersey. But at the end of the day, he's a depth pickup, but he's not a bad one, right? It's not some guy that they're going to stash in the minors and they were never going to see. He's going to play. Jim Neal said that he is flying in tomorrow. Possibly could play tomorrow night against Florida. I would expect if he's ready to go, he's going to play. Just because Andre Secker looks like he's going to be out, and it would be Joe Hanley or I guess Joe Hanley actually is out too. So yeah, I think he's probably going to play. But something to keep an eye on there. Matthew DeFranks and really any of the Stars media members, they were all talking about that. Some other news and notes from Jim Neal today, because this was actually kind of a big day. Because Jim Neal sits down, the media, Stars media, can ask a lot of questions, not necessarily trade deadline related. Real quick, let's actually talk about Jamie Oleksiak, because we have mentioned him. He was not moved at the deadline, ahead of the trade deadline. There were some rumors that some teams were interested. I know Edmonton, I believe, was interested. He was name thrown out there. Obviously, he would have commanded some value, but Jim Neal came back after the deadline and said he wasn't really ever on the table. It would have taken an offer where I could not refuse the offer for me to even, you know, entertain trading Jamie Oleksiak. He's a big part of our future, and you know, the Stars want to keep him there, and that's, we know that, right? The Stars want Jamie Oleksiak to re-sign at the end of the year. They want him to be a long-term piece for this team. He brings value defensively, size-wise. You know, he's got the physicality. He's got some offensive upside. He's still kind of growing into this new role, and he's a good pairmate for Miro Heiskanen. I think the Stars are fully intent on bringing him back next year. So unless they were blown away by a deal, they weren't going to move him. And obviously that never came to fruition. Jim Neal also said that Andre Secker is getting an MRI today, so we'll have more news on his injury, and that'll impact Vatanen, but potentially could see Vatanen as early as tomorrow night. Going to wear number 45 in case any of you are interested. But he was asked about Tyler Seguin and Ben Bishop, and this is from Jim Neal via Mike Hyka of DallasStars.com. Tyler Seguin's 2 weeks away. He's starting to skate with the taxi squad. Ben Bishop is already skating with the taxi squad, about the same timeline as Tyler Seguin. So both of them about 2 weeks away from returning. We talked about the Stars' schedule here over the next couple of weeks. You know, when I'm starting to like zero in, I think you look at that and you go, okay, next 2 weeks, hopefully. You're home against Florida, home against Columbus this week, then home against Detroit beginning next week. So maybe, maybe optimistically, maybe Carolina, 26th and 27th, maybe we could see them return there. You know, after the road trip in Detroit on the 22nd and 24th, they're back in Dallas. Maybe that, I think that's optimistically where we might see them for the first time this year. That would be a good time for them to rejoin, I think, for the Stars, especially if Dallas has a really nice stretch. And here's the other thing. Here's a little secret. 2 weeks away, I think, also sets them up. It puts the Stars in a position where, hey, these 2 weeks that they really need to go really well, go really poorly, now we don't necessarily have to risk them, right? Because there's only a couple weeks left in the season. We're out of the race. If the Stars play really well, they beat Columbus, they beat Detroit, maybe they win 5 or 6 of these 7, which is not out of the cards. They should be winning most of these games. They win those, they're right there with Nashville. I think you see Seguin and Bishop here at the end of the month and at the beginning, rounding out the year in May. Pardon me. If they go really poorly, I would not be surprised if we don't see Ben Bishop or Tyler Seguin here the 26th or 27th. I wouldn't expect if there's some sort of setback and we don't see them again potentially this season. But Joakivi Ranta is potentially going to skate with the taxi squad this week. That's also big for Stars forward depth. The negative note here was that Alexander Radulov is going to have to get further evaluated for his injury and to determine next steps. This is Matthew DeFranks. He is said that Radulov's going to see a specialist. Next steps could include surgery, whether he's going to be able to play. So potential that we don't see Alexander Radulov again this season. We'll have to see what the specialist says. But optimistically, within the next 2 weeks, you could see Tyler Seguin, Ben Bishop, Joakivi Ranta, and maybe if the specialist, if it goes well with the specialist for Radulov, maybe see them all back. But there's also a chance, we won't see them in the next couple of weeks. But that's the latest update with regards to those guys. I think that's going to do it all for this episode. We went a little over time today, but there's a lot of news, a lot of stuff to cover. We'll be back tomorrow where we'll kind of take a broader look at the deadline. Taylor Hall got moved. Anthony Mantha got moved. There were some moves that involved the Central Division. We'll talk about all of those. Carl Soderberg from the Blackhawks. We'll talk about all of that tomorrow and just kind of implications for Dallas, what it could mean. Now, Chicago's the interesting one, I think, in all of this. I think they made some moves that I think indicate that they're viewing themselves on the outside looking in and are willing to just rebuild, which I think could open the door for the Stars a little bit here at the end of the season to just try to kind of chase down Nashville. We'll talk about all that tomorrow, though. Then Wednesday, we'll have a recap of Florida. On Tuesday, we got 3 games this week to talk about, a lot going on. We'll talk about all of that. But until then, make sure to follow on Twitter at LockedOnStars. Follow my personal account as well at Kenneth_Nash19. We did not have a locker room yesterday. I apologize for that. Had some stuff come up this weekend that prevented me from being able to do a locker room. We'll be back with locker room this week. We may try to do a bonus locker room time because to make up for Sunday, especially maybe if we see Vatanen or, we have something interesting go on here. We may do a locker room pop-up during the week, and we'll have one on the weekend as well. So follow on locker room at Kenneth_Nash19, same as my Twitter handle. And then wherever you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, all of those places, make sure to follow the podcast. We show up in your feed every single day. Thank you guys for the support. You guys have been great. I know the season's been a little bit rough. Just it's been weird timing, and it's so condensed that it's a lot of recaps and previews, and there's not a whole lot of there's not a whole lot of getting to analyze stuff because it's just so much talking about games and games and games. There's been injuries. It's not been the most fun star season, but I appreciate the support. That's going to do it all for this one, though. Enjoy your Monday. We'll be back tomorrow to talk to you about the NHL trade deadline in totality. But until then, stay safe. Well, I'll talk to you soon.
You're Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.